We've been on this for quite the on this subject, and I thought last week we would probably finish it, but there's a few more points that I want to get in on this. And we're speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, you that have heard the other messages know that that's the feast where Israel came together and they dwelled in booths and all. Amen. When they went to the temple, they went as one man. And we've been studying about the tabernacle, how in the Old Testament it typed out exactly Christ and what He's done. Amen. But they did it for 7 days, and on the eighth day, they had a holy convocation, a general assembly, a get-together. And the eighth day, that puts us back into the first day of week, into eternity. Praise God. So, I want to read this one scripture. It's in Leviticus 23:36. Reads like this. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, now watch, on the eighth day there shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no vile work therein. Now I want you to notice that, how he's speaking here about the Feast of the Tabernacle. I should have read 35 too. It says, on the first day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no work. And it's on the first day, you know, and on the seventh day. Now, this is a good clear type of the seven church ages that the church has come through. In the dark ages, we've come through seven church ages, and now we're at the end time. And there's to be a holy convocation in this last day. Now, I want to turn here, Jesus going up to this feast at the head. And Jesus, when He came and He preached His message, died for the sins of the world, that ended the Old Testament law as far as us being bound by the Old Testament covenant. And, of course, the New Old Testament is still good and all that, but certain rules and regulation, offering certain sacrifices and eating certain meats and so on and so forth, the certain laws and circumcision, all that ended with the coming of Christ and Him dying on the cross. Paul said, if I'm justified by the law, then Christ died in vain. So, amen. But now, the Jews were having this feast here. They never did accept Jesus, as you know. Very few of them did. They rejected Him. But they were having their Feast of Tabernacles. In the 7th chapter of St. John, we'll read about it. And then, on the last day of the feast, see, not on the first day, the last day of the feast. Amen. That's where we're at now. I want to get a little bit this morning in the Revelation on the seven church age, but let's get this one first, because the point I want to make today, this will be the eighth message, and it's on the eighth day that He raised His voice and cried, He that believes on me out of the belly. But let's, in St. John 7, we'll start verse 1 on this, to get a little something here. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now, verse 2 says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles were at hand. Now, I could read more of that, but I got something else I want to add. I just want to show you the feast it was, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now that we've gone over the Feast of Tabernacles, how they dwelt in booths 7 days. On the first day, they didn't. It was a Sabbath, and then on the eighth day, and between that time, then they would do certain things. But those 2 days, they had a holy convocation. They had a Sabbath. They had a time of rest. And then on the last day, watch this. The eighth day was the time when they had a solemn assembly. They had a holy convocation. And I want to pick this up, what Jesus said on the... Well, let me read just a little more, because if I don't, I'm going to miss a point here that I think we need in here. Let's continue on verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go not to Jerusalem, for thy disciples also, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now watch, that's a astounding scripture. As they walked with him, saw his miracle, they still didn't quite get it, who he was. And they were still having trouble believing on him. Amen. But watch as we continue here. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not come, but your time is already. The world cannot hate you because it hateth me, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. It hadn't changed much, has it? Amen. Still the same. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he up also unto the feast, not openly, but as in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? Now I want you to notice here, on this certain feast, this is the old Feast of Tabernacles, and you that hadn't got all the message, of course, they're on tape, we've gone through it. But this Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus, he couldn't go up, he went up as in secret. And I'll tell you, there's a secret coming to the Lord in this last day. How many believe it? And this revelation of the Word of God, amen, can only be understood in the Spirit of God. If God speaks, if it's a spiritual word, you've got to be in the Spirit to receive it. Can you say amen? I mean, you can't be carnal. You can't have your mind on everything else and still come to the house of God and blend in and get the Word of God. You've got to stay in that Word, don't you? Amen. I know everybody don't do it like I do, but I read and I usually listen to a tape or two every night of the Gospel, Word of God, and Bible reading tapes, and Doc, I thank God for those tapes that your father had, those Testament tapes, New Testament tapes, and Old Testament tapes. Amen. And I hear the Word of God because I believe it's necessary to keep your mind in the right place in this hour, don't you? That's on the Lord, on the Word of God, on the things of God, and not on the things of the world. Amen. I'm not interested in blending with the world, and I'm not interested in what the world has to offer, and I'm not interested in the glories of the world or the things of the world. Amen. I'm interested in Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and that's it. That's what my life's all about. Amen. And that's why Paul, now I know we look at Paul as a fanatic, and he was one that went off on the deep end. I'm talking from the standpoint of a carnal man. See, that's what carnal people. Paul went off on the deep end because he began to spiritualize that city, New Jerusalem. He began to spiritualize when Abraham had two sons. One of them was Ishmael, and the one was Isaac. And he said Ishmael was that natural Jerusalem, and Isaac that spiritual Jerusalem. And then also he said that Christ was Isaac, was Abraham's seed. Said it wasn't Isaac, it was Christ. See, and you got to be spiritual to understand those things, don't you? Amen. They're right. But Paul, in a sense, if he'd come into most churches today, they'd throw him out. How many knows it? If Jesus Christ come into most churches today, why, they wouldn't recognize who he was. Amen. And a lot of you maybe like Mary and Joseph when they went up to a certain feast at Jerusalem, and Jesus, being about 12-year-old, went with them, and they assumed he would be with some of the friends, and they went a 2 days journey and never even missed the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people don't talk to him enough. Amen. If he's gone 2 or 3 days you ain't going to miss him. Amen, but we need to talk to him daily, don't we? And they begin to look around. Where's he at? Where's Jesus? Have anybody seen Jesus? And I'll tell you, that's the way a lot of people do today. Amen. Well, if he's gone a week in some folks' life, they wouldn't miss him, would they? Because they don't talk to him anyway. They talk about him, but not to him. It's the one thing to talk about Jesus, talk about the Word of God, but it's one another thing to talk to Jesus, him talk back with you. Amen. And he don't do it by works, you know. How many knows it? He does it when you enter into the Spirit. And some people want to judge others as they, like if somebody hadn't come to God yet, they'll want to more or less push them aside. But I always loved that story about the woman at the well. I mean, she'd been married about 5 times, and she was actually living with a guy that she weren't married to. And she's just living the life of the world. But one day, the Word struck her soul. Jesus had need to go by a certain well, and if He knows where you're at, and He knows who you are, and He knows how to come by it on you at the right time. So He went by the well over there, and He told His disciples, I've got need to go over there. And when He got there, there was a woman. She couldn't come when the rest of the people came, because she was of ill fame, and the other ladies wouldn't come out with her. She had to go out by herself, but she's the one that Jesus came to. Amen. She was out there getting water, and Jesus come up, and He said, give me the drink. And she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask to me a Samaritan give you drink? They don't. The Jew don't have no dealing with the Samaritan. He said, if you knew who it was that asked. Oh, there's a secret. Said, you would ask me. Amen. I would give you that living water. She said, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get any water? And he continued to talk. Said, go call your husband and come to me. She said, I don't have no husband. Well, watch that Jesus. He's something else, I'll tell you. He knows what you've done, what you're going to do, and why you're doing it. How many will say amen? He told that woman there, said, yeah, I know. Said, you have had 5 husbands. And said, you're living one now you're not even married to. And said, he began to tell her about her life. And she said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Amen. Something quickened in her heart. And she left that old water pot she had. And that's what a lot of people need to do, leave their old denominational water pots. Amen. Where the water got tadpoles in it and crawdads and stuff like that. Amen. She left that old natural water pot and ran into town saying, come here a man that told me everything that I did is not this the Christ. Praise the Lord. So that's the way Jesus, see, He knows where His people are at. Amen. I had that dream sometime back, and I preached the message you'll get on the tape called Having the Right Slant to the Gospel. I'm going to put this in. And in the dream, I was a man and woman came out of the bushes here. It was similar to the dream that I had when I had the dream of the place I was telling you about then. They had a honeycomb. It was about 36 inches high and about 24 inches wide, something of that order, you know. And they came out of the wheel in this clear place, and they had out there holding it up, a man and woman. See, there's man and woman, Christ and the bride, see. And they came out in the clear, and they began to till that honeycomb back just like that, tilling it back. And when they got at a certain slant, bees started coming from everywhere. Amen. Thousands of them covering the beehive up. Not the beehive, the comb. Amen. And see, the only bees is drawed the honey, see. Now, I want you to notice this. Flies ain't drawn the honey. Bees are. Amen. They might swarm around a little bit, but I tell you, bees make honey. Amen. They live on honey, and they make it, and they live on it. They can't live without the honey. Amen. I'll tell you the same thing with a Christian this hour. When in Revelation chapter 10, when John took the little book out of the angel's hand, the Word of God, he said, was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Amen. I'll tell you, you don't have to do anything about this but preach the Word and let God do the drawing. How many will say amen? Some people want to have big programs and all that to try to get somebody in. Amen. God knows them, every one. Their names on the Lamb Book of Life before the world. Hallelujah. And they'll be drawn to it. Amen. There's a drawing power to it if there's something in you to respond. Hallelujah. I heard a man telling about going to a steel mill. And he walking through the steel mill, and the word is grinding and boring and all that, making metal, punching holes in metal and stuff, and they'd get a lot of metal shavings on the ground. But they also had a section there where they worked with aluminum, and they do the basically the same thing. But they had a big magnet on the thing that would come there every so often. They'd bring it right down through the mill there, and every one of those steel shavings would be drawn to that magnet. Every one of them. But when it came to the aluminum shaving, not a one of them would move because they weren't magnetized to it. There's a people that's magnetized to the Word of God, and that's all they're concerned about. They ain't concerned about a denomination. They ain't concerned about a big program. Amen. They're concerned about the Word of God because they're part of the Word. Hallelujah. You were with Him in the beginning. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus said in 17th chapter of St. John, "Restore unto me the joy that I had with thee before the world was." Amen. Well, book of Ephesians chapter 1 tells us you were predestinated in Him and ordained before the world was. Amen. You're part of that. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was manifested and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, which was Jesus Christ. Well, if He's part of the Word and He was with Him in the beginning, then you were too. Say, you were with His thoughts. And you are with Him, and you're part of the Word. Glory to God. And when you hear the Word, you're drawn to it. You're like those shavings, amen, on the floor. The Word is a magnet, see? And if you're magnetized to that Word, you'll be drawn to it. Hallelujah. But a piece of aluminum can't come to the Word. Amen. It's not magnetized to it. And I'll tell you, a lot of people, they'll worry about who'll accept it and who won't accept it. That ain't our problem. This is God's program, isn't it? How many will say amen? Amen. God will do the drawing. God will do the sending. Amen. All He said for us to do is preach the Word. Glory to God. Feed my sheep, He said. Now, here on this last day of the great feast, we want to look here. He went up as in secret. And that's the way He's doing a lot of time now. The world don't see Him. How many knows the world don't see Him? He's not part of the world. Amen. He's of a different order. Amen. And they don't see Him. But I want to begin reading here in verse 37. Jesus, and remember on that last day, which going back to the first day again, amen, that was a holy convocation. It says, verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast," that great day, see? Oh, praise God. This is when they had a solemn assembly. This is when they had a holy convocation. And that a solemn assembly means they stand in awe. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you, you'll stand in awe when you come in the presence of God. Amen. I remember, and you know the story all too well. Well, not too well, but you know the story well. How Balaam, the prophet over there, tried to curse Israel. Tried to bring a curse upon Israel because Balak was afraid. And he said, "Can you go put a curse on them people?" And Balak said, "Let me ask the Lord and see what He says about it." And the Lord says, "You shall not touch them people because they're mine." But old Balak came back and said, "I can give you a lot of money and I can do this and I'll do it." He said, "Let me pray again and see what the Lord..." Sometimes we can pray too much. Amen. You know, when you pray too much, when you get the will of God, you start trying to change it. Amen. Is that right? You can get in that permissive will of God and not that perfect will. I want that perfect will, don't you? Amen. You can be in that perfect will. Amen. But Balaam there, he began to pray and began to try to curse Israel. But God says, "Whoever bless Israel will be blessed. Whoever curse Israel will be cursed." Amen. And that's the way this thing works. You got to do it God's way. Say it God's way. Stand on God's Word. Amen. And nothing else matters. See? Amen. So we're in the book of Revelation talk about something in the way of Balaam. That is knowing the Word. And then you want to do it a little different. Amen. We ain't got no choice. So Jesus, on this last day of the feast, this will be the eighth day. This is the eighth message on this is this conclusion. But watch here. I'm on verse 30. Let's see. Did I turn my page here? Let me get my place back here. Amen. Okay, verse 37. Notice, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Now that's an invitation, isn't it? Amen. I'm telling you about old Balaam there, and I want to finish this story, because here's why. Amen. God looks at things different than what we do. See, these Feast of Tabernacles, Balaam, he wanted to curse Israel, and he went and looked at the worst part of Israel, see. And that'll fit right, showing you how I'm fitting this in here. But Balaam went and looked, and God gave him a vision after he prayed and prayed. You know, God gave him a vision of Israel. He went and looked at the worst part of them. But God let him see them and said, "Oh, Israel, how beautiful are your tents. How in order are your tents?" And said, "I hear the shout of the king in the camp." That was when they were at their worst, see. Oh, I'll tell you, when you look through the eyes of God, you'll see things different. See, that's like the Feast of Tabernacles. They were all in the tents. They were all in order. And old Balaam came back and said, "I can't curse what God has blessed. God's blessed Israel, and I can't curse him." And old Balak kept on trying to urge him on. Urge him on, go do it. So finally he got on his horse to go, his little donkey, to go do another sacrifice. See, if God would tell him different, you know how the story goes on and on. But here, what happened was that the donkey, he didn't want to go. And the reason why, he could see more than Balaam could see. Amen. That was a story over in India there, where there was going to be an earthquake. And before the earthquake, all the cattle moved away from the wall. And all the little birds that had their nests built in, they moved away from the wall. And it came, that earthquake, and it shook those big high walls down. Amen. And the cattle had already moved away. The birds got out of the wall. Amen. But man knew nothing about it, but the animals did, see. They could see more. And I don't know if you saw this it started Friday. About them dolphins, wasn't it? Dolphins, penguins that they had, it came on the ABC News that you watched, they had on for 2 or 3 days. Out there, they migrate, you know, and they've never done this before in the zoo there. But 24 hours a day, they just swimming. Did anybody see that? You saw it? Yeah, okay. The zookeepers, they didn't know what has happened to the penguins. They've all gone crazy. That they don't stop day in, day out swimming. Well, I'll tell you, there's a prophecy that there's going to be a huge earthquake out in California there. And Brother Hammond said he woke up the other night and he got saying, "My God, my God, my God, Los Angeles has gone under. Big earthquake." See, I tell you, those animals, sometimes they catch it before we do. How many knows it? Now look at this donkey. He could see an angel standing there with a drawn sword. So Balaam was whipping and beating that little donkey, trying to get him to go on. And he wouldn't go. He ran into a wall there and crushed Balaam's foot. And he just got so upset that he said, "I ought to kill you," that prophet now. He was beaten, and that donkey turned to him and said. Now they said, "What's that talking horse they got on TV?" Mr. Ed, I tell you, they ain't got nothing on God. How many knows it? That donkey says, "Now look, why are you beating me? I've served you all these years. Have I ever done like this before?" He said, "No, but I ought to kill you." And Balaam was so mad he didn't realize the donkey was talking to him. He said, "Look down in front of you," and began to tell that there was an angel. And God opened his eyes, and there was an angel with a drawn sword. If that donkey hadn't saw more than he did, no more, Balaam asked, no more than what the prophet Balak, the prophet himself, known. And he got talking to that prophet, and that prophet talking back to him, and he was so mad and so upset, he didn't realize, hey, here's a talking mule or talking donkey. Amen. What it was, God was trying to get him to see what he was doing. You can't keep on asking God when God says, this is the way. Go walk you therein. Amen. This is a straight and narrow way. Amen. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, those tents were in order. How in order? And see, in that day, God was letting him look at a prophecy at this feast, even in the great millennia. The Feast of Tabernacles is going to take place, and all nations are going to come up and worship God. This Zechariah 14, all that won't come up, there'll be no rain on the crop. And I'll tell you, a lot of people ain't had much rain on the crop. I'm not talking your natural crops either. Amen, because I can tell by the fruit. Amen, if you obey God's Word and come to the house of God and seek the Lord, He'll let it rain on your crop. I'm talking spiritual here, not natural. Amen. But at that great feast here, Jesus came up, the last day of it, just showing you, if God lets somebody see you, you'll probably be dressed in fine linen, clean and white like the bride, see? Amen. A lot of people, you know, we as people want to find fault. You know why? We're in the flesh and we're looking at the flesh and we're judging by the flesh. Amen. But God looks at the heart, don't He? How many will say amen? Praise God, old Balaam. He got the shock of his life when God showed him Israel. He went back and told Balak, I saw Israel in the perfect order. And he said, well, I hired you to curse them. Now you're blessing them. But I'm going to leave that story there because I want to get a little more on this. Notice the last day of the feast, Jesus went up. This is the tabernacle. That's what they were counting. In the last day of that great feast, Jesus went up. Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now I want you to watch on the last day. And the last day is after the 7 days, see. Amen. That's very important because we've come through 7 church ages. There have been 7 church age messengers, and all of them has come and gone. And now we're to get right back to what Paul preached. Amen. We're to get right back in that Word of God. Amen. And not just what some church age person said, that's the reading denomination that started several hundred years ago. They had a truth back then, but God's revealed more Word. I pulled out last night, went down the tape room, pulled out a recorder, one of them old big reel-to-reel thing. It used to serve us good, and it used to, I guess it's probably got mildew in or something that I hadn't used it. And we taped Joyce's funeral with it. That's the last time it's been used. Because it'll run for hours, you know, for the funeral service didn't want to have this changing the tapes and so on. And it wouldn't work. I said, this is the type of the church age. It used to be what we needed, see. It used to be top-of-the-line stuff. It used to be that this right here, when you got one of them real-to-real tape recorders, you had the ultimate. Amen. But then they came with 8-track, and that was a flute. Because they didn't last long. 8-tracks, they all get all chewed up and everything. And then they came out with a cassette tape. Hey, man, then we're getting somewhere. But now what have they come out with? They've come out with CDs. And I know a man bought a $37,000 vehicle. Hey, man, don't even have a tape player, has a CD player. Know another man bought a new truck, and it got a CD player. What I'm saying is, we got to keep up with time. We got to move on with God, and that's the way it is with this Word of God. We can't stay back in the church ages. Martin Luther came with a message. He protested the Catholic Church. And he came out and he preached the Word. It was good for his day, but God has moved the church on since then. Amen. And that's why it shows them 7 church age days where there are certain works there in. And certain things take place, but in the last days, God's going to take it right back to the original because on the first day, they had a holy convocation. They had a Sabbath. And on the last day, they had one. See, at the day of Pentecost, they had a great move of God. They didn't have any organizations. Now, that's where a lot of people fall out with me about. Amen. I belong to this church. I belong to that church. I belong to that. Well, honey, I'll tell you, what we need to do is belong to Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Denomination can't get you nowhere but into a ditch. Amen. I believe the Word talk about that. Glory to God. It's the Word of God. Amen. And it has to be gun barrel straight. Praise God. Now, these feast days that we've been through, that we've showed you, they started back there. God was typing out the tabernacle. But when Paul got on the scene, Peter didn't do it. Any of the other apostles did. But Paul began to say that Christ was that tabernacle. How many knows it? And he began to say, you've already come to that city, New Jerusalem. He began to bring this in the Spirit, and therefore you've got to get in the Spirit to see these things. Paul said the natural man cannot receive these things. It's foolishness to him. Amen. You've got to be in the Spirit of God. Only bees come to the honey. Only bees can make honey. Amen. I want to turn here in the book of Revelation. I'm getting down to closing on these things that we're bringing. But I want to read something here in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation written about 30 years after Paul's death. After all the Word of God was completed. I want to show you this. After all the Word of God was completed, and Paul talked like the Lord was coming in his day, he said, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord won't hinder them sleep. They're going to rise first, and we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling eye, right? Okay. He used the word we. He fully expected in his day. He said the time's at hand. When Peter wrote, he said the time's at hand. But guess what? Peter and Paul both were killed for the gospel according to tradition. 30 years went by. The church began to fall away. And Christ didn't come. Amen. Now, the book of Revelation picked up in history and time in 96 A.D. And if you don't have the copy of the interpreted book, it covers most of these things in there. But when we get over to the book of Revelation, it's a letter of explanation explaining why he did not come. See? 2,000 years. A lot of people say, Brother Ben, how do you know we're at the end times? So Paul said it was at hand in his day. In the 7th chapter of Romans, he said, you ain't got time to build and marry and so on so forth and have a family. The coming of the Lord's at hand. Here we are 2,000 years later. And we're still here. Well, the book of Revelation tells us why. The very first church age, he said, you're fallen. Amen. Let's start with verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1 here. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and Satan signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and the things which he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in for the times at hand. When it's revealed, the times at hand. Now watch here, a revelation begin to come forth that Paul didn't preach. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace and peace be unto you from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now watch that. What do we have in there that none of the New Testament people ever mentioned, hadn't been mentioned in the Word of God before? Seven spirits. God's one spirit. Amen. Now how do we come over here 96 A.D. with seven spirits? Well, it is the seven angels. Amen. That ministered to the seven church ages. God was letting John know as he wrote this, the church is going through seven church ages. And in the early church, Jesus came through. He was the Holy Ghost. Amen. But when we see him here on in this chapter, he's the high priest. Amen. Then we see him in Revelation 10 as the mighty angel. That's that last day of that feast when he stands up and cries with a loud voice. But watch it. We read very swiftly here because I'm not going to tarry, take too long. verse 5, a greeting from Him that was, which is, and from the seven spirits, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God the Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. Now I want you to watch here something. There are three spiritual voices, all of them God. Now there's the voice of Him that was and is to come. And then there's the voice of the seven angels sending greetings to the church. And then there's the voice of Him that loved us and died for us. Amen. Three spiritual voices. Now we take those three spiritual voices over into Revelation 10, and we got the right answer. It's one God all the time, but He breaks it up. He got seven special angels that He used to bring a message to the church, and they bring the message to the church while He's high priest. Now, I want you to notice, other week, now you got the message the other week where that God made us kings and priests, and He says, such a high priest becometh you, and the high priest only could go in the holiest of holies, couldn't he? All right. Now, we find here, as we read on down in the book of Revelation, John was on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God. Let's pick up here with verse 9. I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony which is held. We went over that the other week, how it was kind of like aftrack. That place in California just was island out there. They throw John. He was about 100 years old, but he was one of the apostles that leaned on Jesus' breast, and Jesus said he wouldn't die till he saw the coming, the kingdom, and all that. He saw it in the visionary form, and got it wrote in the book of Revelation. Now he was on the island. Verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now the Lord's day is not Sunday. It's not the Sabbath. It was in the millennia, God's seventh day. God picked him up there and let him look back, see why the church came through the seven church ages and all that. And he wrote about it. Glory to God. And he got it right. How many will say amen? All right. Now notice he says, verse 11, the voice was saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What that says, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, that was 100 churches, but little Asia. Now, Asia was a little island. It was a place that's about the size of the state of Indiana or so. And there were seven major cities and seven churches there. And each church had a condition that would represent a church age. All right, notice, under the seven churches which are in Asia, watch the name of them, because these are church ages. The name of the first one was Ephesus. And the name of the second, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, that's the second church age, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira. Amen. That's when the Catholic Church began to rule the world. Thyatira means dominating female. So, amen. You get that. It says, and unto the church of Sardis, that's the one, Brother Bobby, you gave me that tape from Martin Luther. He was that messenger of that church age of Sardis. He was that man came out and... And then unto Philadelphia, John Wesley and Charles was the messenger that came out. They the one wrote most of the songs, Charles Wesley. The hymn in the hymnal, many of them. It says, unto the church and unto Laodicea. Now, Laodicea, that word means people's rights. And that's the last of the seven church ages, which we've just come through. Amen. Now, watch here as we go on this. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. See, there was seven church ages, and there was seven candlesticks, and Jesus walked among them, and watch how he was clothed. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle, just dressed like a high priest. His head and hair was white like wool. That signifies his supreme authority. As white as snow, and his eyes as flames of fire. And his feet was like fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shines in the strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that was dead. I am he that lived and was dead, and behold, alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now watch here. He's telling the mystery. I want to get this, and I'm going to close out on this. This will be the last of the message, but I'll go into, on something else next week. I'll pick up. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels. Most of the King James says angels, some says messengers. Of the seven church ages, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now I want you to notice here, this is church has fell away. We're fixing to go into church age. We don't see Jesus here as Holy Ghost. We see him as high priest. He came as Holy Ghost on their Pentecost. Now, the church fell away, amen, after the first church began. Then, he had to come and make intercession for the sins of the people. They were living under great grace in that early church. Amen. They went into the holies of holies. Remember, on the first day, they had a holy convocation. That's when the veil in the temple was rent. They went in, and the priests there, in the Old Testament, the priest had to be holy. If he went in, he had to do things right. But here went a couple of folks in, the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, named Ananias and Sapphira. And they went in and trying to be deceptive into the holies of holies. You know what happened to them? They both fell dead, see? Amen. Then, as the church fell away then, they fell from the level of living on great grace to a level of living on the mercy of God, and it went into seven church ages, and Jesus was the high priest. He was behind the veil, but how did he commune with the church now? By one of the seven angels. He sent the word out. Amen. We find in Revelation chapter 5 that Jesus, being that lamb, had seven eyes and seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God, and there's no such creature exists like that. God just let him see that so that he would know. We've come through seven church ages. Amen. We've come through the last one. Now, the next thing is, on the great day of that feast is a holy convocation where we go right back to what the early church was. Amen. And watch as we... I'm just going to have time to get a little bit on one of them. But we go to Revelation chapter 2 here, and the first church age, which was the Ephesus church age, lasted 170, or from 53 to 170. And Paul was that messenger of that early time of the Gentile. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be... I'm still in one here. Let me get over. In chapter 2 it says, Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the candlesticks, Christ the high priest. I know thy works. Every one of these church ages, I know thy works. And when we come into the Holy of Holies, we cease from our works. Oh, I'm telling you, there's something good for the church. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hath tried them which say they are apostles, and found them liars. And has borne and had patience for my name's sake, and has labored, notice the word labored, and has not found. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, else I will come and remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And then he goes on to tell some of the other things. But I want to close out on that because I want to pick up next week and continue there on the seven works. See. Amen. But I want you to notice the church fell away. That was 53 A.D. And Jesus was no longer walking among them and moving among them as just the Holy Ghost. He became the high priest. And that high priest went behind the veil, remember? And he sent the message out by a certain angel and a certain man. There were seven men through history, you find them. And each one of them men, there was an angel, gave him inspiration for that message for that day. Amen. And we've come through that. So we're at the end time now. How many knows it? And it's proven we're at the end time. And we're back to where the church will have the same power, the same glory, the same blessing, believe the same gospel, Amen. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Amen. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to know, Jesus said, he that have ceased from his, he that have entered into his rest has ceased from his own work. But the church age is work, 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 work. That's why we don't try to do a whole lot of advertisement and anything, get people in. We believe God will send his own. Amen. How many believe it? Glory to God. I believe this has become a work of God and not a work of the church age. Amen. And the Lord's blessing, the Lord's moving. Amen. And on the conclusion of this great Feast of Tabernacles, come again. That's Revelation chapter 10. Amen. He is that tabernacle. And we're in Him. You say, how about the tent? That's our place in Him. In my Father's house are many mansions, in my Father's domain are many dwelling places, and we're members of His body. Amen. That spiritual body is in the earth, and we're members of it. Amen. There's so much to be said here, but I know everybody, we don't want to fill your cup up and just run it over and so on, and we don't want to try your patience, but I feel like we'll get this far now. And Jesus stood up and cried on the last day of the feast. And what was the last day? It was the eighth day, the Holy Convocation. We've done come through the seven church ages. Glory to God, and that's the hour we're living in now. Amen. The early church, he had apostolic ministry. There was two leading apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter to the Jews, Paul to the Gentiles. Amen. It's shaking out the same way in this last day. Amen. One apostle that worked with that seventh church age messenger and those folks, and another just come right straight down the Word of God and say it's got to be in the book. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now, God. We just come praising you for your great mercy upon us, Lord. And thanking you, God, that you've helped us. And Lord, you give us these messages on the Feast of the Tabernacles and how it shows time and where we've come through and what you've been doing. And as the very first of these messages shows that we got an individual place in God and nobody can take our place. Lord, help us, God, as we go further in the Word of God to be that Thou has ordained us to be for this last day. And we'll be so careful to praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.